Welcome to the My Family Coach podcast. I'm Claire, and each week you'll find me interviewing a guest expert to find out more about the tricky world of child behaviour, all in handy 15-minute-ish bite-sized chunks. At the end of each episode, we'll send you away with three practical tips. It's perfect for parents, carers, and professionals working with children. And if this episode leaves you wanting more, you can watch, listen, and read our wide range of free resources on the My Family Coach website. I'm joined today by Pookie Knightsmith. Pookie has a PhD in child mental health from the Institute of Psychiatry, King's College, London. She's the author of several books and is former chair of the Children and Young People's Mental Health Coalition. Pookie is a director at Creative Education Limited and at Pookie Knightsmith's Associates. Pookie's autistic. A late diagnosis has helped her to thrive following many years of anorexia, depression and anxiety. And this is the second part of a two-part series with Pookie. And Pookie and I are talking about supporting a distressed child at home and focusing around self-care for parents, carers. Enjoy the episode.
I was just wondering about, you know, parents, carers that are maybe supporting and, you know, living with their distressed child. And what some of the signs in ourselves that we might notice that we're struggling, because again, it might sound like a daft question, but I know sometimes I'm not always aware that I'm having a bit of a difficult time because I'm so busy with everything and I don't even have a chance really to check in with what's going on.
Yeah, it's a really good question, Claire. I think it's different for different people. And one of the most helpful things we can do for ourselves, to be honest, is at a time when things are going relatively well, just reflecting on a time when things were less good and thinking, what were the signs that I might have picked up on in myself then? Because we can often see that with reflection. But some of the things that we'll often see, so sleep disturbance. So we might be sleeping a lot more or a lot less than we normally would. Change in our approach to food. So again, we might be much more hungry or much less hungry. We might see our weight begin to fluctuate without us specifically looking to affect that. We might find that we talk very differently to and about ourselves. So we tend to be a lot less kind of kind, caring, compassionate towards ourselves at these times of stress. A key one is irritability. If we get really irritable and we seem to be a lot more angry than normal, that's often a really key sign that something's not quite right here, that we're not quite emotionally regulated for some reason. And that's a tough one because we often beat ourselves up about it. We're not the nice, kind, calm, caring parent that we want to be. We're like constantly angry and going off on one, and that feels horrible, and it can be a really vicious cycle to get out of. Other things we might notice is disengaging from people or passions that we previously had. So finding that we're not doing the things that used to bring us joy, or we're not spending time with the people or that used to feel good. But just, I mean, change is the key one. And this is what I'm always teaching to people. I can give a list of warning signs and symptoms as long as you like. But the key thing is change. Something feels different, and just being a bit curious about, oh, okay, why is that? Why is that?
Yeah, being curious about why changes are occurring. And I suppose, and I kind of ask that question because I do think sometimes we can get so caught up in some of the things that we're doing at home, and we don't necessarily even have time to reflect on those changes and notice them. And it's really important to notice those changes. And I suppose it's not just about noticing changes in ourselves. It might be a partner, a sister, a friend, but trying to support them, you know, to help them to take that self-care.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think, you know, having good people around us in our lives, whether they are people that we're physically close to and we might actually see in real life, or whether that's that we've kind of found a little tribe online, or perhaps we're part of a group who have faced similar challenges to ourselves, or whatever that might be, having people who might just pick up and notice on these things and being open to it when they do can be really, really helpful. I'm really lucky. I've got some really lovely people in my lives, and different people play different roles. So I have one particular friend, Joe, who, he's great. He's really straight talking if things are a bit challenging. And I recently met up with him when things were a bit tricky, and he just went, "You look like shit. Eat something." And actually, there's not many people I could take that from, but him, I absolutely could. And I needed to hear it. I needed to know, look, you've not been looking after yourself. Your weight has dropped. I can see that. You know that you've got to deal with this. You've got other things to worry about than falling back into this cycle. And in that moment, I could hear that message and I needed to. So I think finding those people that we can trust to give that honest, you know, shake almost and to be there whilst we try and, you know, take ourselves forwards is really important.
It is a straight talking friend. I know I've talked about this before, not on the podcast, but I know sometimes when I'm looking for advice from my friends, I've got maybe like a straight talking friend. I've got someone that's really empathetic. And sometimes I'll just go to the person that will get the response that I want. But actually, sometimes you just need a person. I need my straight talking friend to be like, nah, sort it out, you know, crack on with it. So, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. And that's the wonderful thing as we work through our lives. And one of the things our children won't have yet, probably, is that whole range of different people. So we collect them throughout a lifetime. Some of these friends will be people we don't tap into very often, but just every now and then, they're the perfect person for this particular instance that we find ourselves in because they've experienced something similar, or they've helped us at a similar time in the past, or they just get it and we know they won't judge or whatever. And I think, having the ability to know who to talk to in the right moment is it's really important.
It is really important. And I know I was desperate for us to just talk about the window of tolerance on this episode, just because I think it's a really useful tool for parents, carers to recognise it perhaps in themselves when they're struggling. Do you mind just talking about that for a minute?
The window of tolerance. Yes, it's a very visual thing. So I'm going to do my best to do this in an audible way. So the window of tolerance basically is our ability to manage day to day. So our staying within our window of tolerance means staying emotionally regulated enough to be able to cope. Now, if you kind of imagine it as two parallel lines, and we wiggle around within those parallel lines all day, every day, something good happens, something bad happens, but we generally manage to more or less keep our cool. But what can happen is we can shoot up through the top of the window of tolerance, so out the top of those parallel lines. And that's when we're going into what's called hyper arousal. Mm-hmm. And that can look like an angry outburst or like a big kind of anxious moment, like a big panic attack or something like that. Or just a moment when we become too much, it's all too big. It would be when a child might have a tantrum or a meltdown. And then on the other hand, we can go into hypoarousal, so down through the bottom of those parallel lines. And that's when we totally withdraw. We might go into a kind of freeze response, and we might become very kind of disengaged, demotivated, a sort of shutdown kind of response. And what we're trying to do, of course, is to do what we can to stay within those parallel lines all day, every day. And that can mean making sort of micro adjustments all the time. So it might be recognizing, oh, I'm beginning to get a little bit anxious now. So I need to, I don't know, use a breathing strategy for a minute or have a cup of tea or, you know, WhatsApp my friend who always has something kind of funny to say or calming to say, just to try and keep me within that window of tolerance. And the other thing that's important to understand about it is, so I talked about these parallel lines and we're imagining, hopefully, wiggling within those. But what can also happen is that those parallel lines get closer together or further apart. So we've got a bigger or smaller window of tolerance. And the things that will make those bigger and smaller that we can impact on is all that stuff we talked about at the beginning of the episode. So having enough sleep suddenly makes that window way bigger, whereas no sleep, as you're experiencing with your puppy, it's much harder. You're much more likely to fly off the handle and find things a little bit harder. So thinking about what we can do to broaden out that window of tolerance. I'm waving my hands around here like anything and it's useless because people
are listening. I love a mime on a podcast. It's all for my benefit and I'm enjoying it. That's the main thing. But what I thought we would do is we'll have a link to the model. So I'm sure as you speak, we can make sure people can have a look at it. But it's so helpful to have visual things like that, metaphors to help to understand where we're at even. I can't believe how quickly time has gone. I'm just like, oh, wow, we've already done the 25 minutes. Do you mind just doing a few tips just at the end, Pookie?
100%. So my kind of three tips for parents who are sort of, yeah, trying to look after themselves as well as their distressed children. Number one is sleep. So I've mentioned sleep loads in this episode. Sleep is the most important thing for you, for your child. Taking steps to try and improve the quality or the quantity of your sleep is the biggest hack in terms of being able to cope better. So if you can, please try to do that. Number two would be finding someone or something to whom you can offload. So you might have a friend, you might have someone who does professional listening, you might have a dog that you walk with, you might have a plant that you talk, it doesn't matter, you might journal, but something or someone to whom you can offload and get this stuff out of your head. Everything that's in our head as it's moving around and all those big worries are really, really horrible and toxic. And as soon as we start to talk or write about them and give them some kind of form, we're able to manage them. So I always talk to children about name it to tame it. And that's what this is about. We want to get it out, give it a form, and then we can work out what to do with it. And then finally, my third tip is to laugh. It's really important that we find space in our lives somehow for the things that bring us joy. Ideally, actually, some of the time that will be with our child. So even if you're listening to this because you've got a child who's facing really significant challenges right now, sometimes we've got to like give ourselves permission to just step away from those challenges and just really enjoy our child for a moment and just do something totally silly that makes us both really laugh and brings us some joy. You also should have some time where you are stepping away from your child as well, where you do something just because it makes you laugh and brings you joy as well. Hobbies, passions, spending time with people, watching silly cat videos on YouTube, whatever it might be, but just something that makes your heart full and makes you smile is one of the best things we can do for our well-being. So, so important.
That is so important. And I always think about playfulness when we talk about laughing and being silly, like just finding that playful aspect of ourselves and just going with it.
And absolutely. Being I teach about it quite a lot because I think that laughter, when laughter is happening, whether it's between children, between adults or between adults and child, it is showing us that we've created a safe environment because we don't laugh unless we feel kind of safe. And in a lot of my work, which is around sort of trauma-informed practice, that's really crucial. So it's great from that point of view, but it also enables kind of connection. So sometimes connection with self, but also connection with others. So yeah, laughter is a really powerful thing, massively underrated.
It is underrated. I do know someone that's doing a laughter yoga course. I'll let you know how. I know, I'd never heard of it, but yeah, I think it's mostly laughter and a bit of yoga, but basically for the things that you're saying, that laughter helps us to feel good. It makes us do deep breathing when we don't, you know, naturally do that across the day. So yeah, I'll let you know when they've done the course. I think it will
sounds
be
great.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it sounds really fun. But thank you so much, Pooky, for your time. I just want to celebrate that the puppy slept through the whole thing on my lap and your cat and your dog survived during the recording. So, you know, success all round for a Monday.
And I've not had any messages from either of my children. They both have been in school for like a whole hour. Touch wood. It all seems to be going okay so far. That doesn't sound like a big deal, maybe, but in our house, it really is.
And celebrate those big deals. But yeah, thank you so much for your time, Pooky, and I'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you for having me. It's a real pleasure.
You've been listening to the My Family Coach podcast. Thank you for joining us as we lift the lid on the challenging world of child behaviour. Remember to subscribe to listen to all our episodes, and there's heaps more helpful support for all your parenting needs on the My Family Coach website. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time.